Welcome to Awakening Plus. It's September 28, 2023. It's our monthly Ask Us Anything call. And so far, we've got a couple of folks here, Faye and Deb. Welcome to you both. So let me begin with a very quick energetic setup. Just a moment. Allies, please come. Thank you. Allies, please create a safe, sacred container for our conversation so that our good energy is held within and only energies and beings of high vibration and benevolent intent enter the space. Thank you. All right. So, Faye, Deb, either of you want to lead off with your first question?
I have a question.
All right, go for it.
When you open and close the mesa, you have that lovely song that you do.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering, are the words for that written in English anywhere?
I do have them. And someone asked.
Great.
So do you want me to say and spell them?
Could you post them someplace where I can copy them?
Well, you know what? Here it is on this event. I'll just put it in the notes for the episode. Yeah.
Or you can say them too. That would be great, but I can't remember them if you just say them. I need to read them.
Okay. So let me just make a note here. Post Mesa directions in the event description. Yeah, I'll just put them in there and you'll have them. Okay.
That'd be great. Thank you.
So just the South is Pachamama. Pachamama. Of course, now I'm having trouble remembering them.
Murphy's Law.
Yeah. Pachamama. It'll come back to me. But I'll put it in the show notes for sure.
Okay, thank
Not
you.
That I haven't done it 1,000 times in these episodes, but all of a sudden, oh, what are they? Okay. Okay, yeah, happy to do that. They're in the language they're in is called Quechua, by the way.
Okay.
Which is a language spoken by about a third of the people in Peru. It's the language of the Incas.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. All right. So welcome, Stephanie. Deb, you were next up. Do you have a question? Hey, you're unmuted. I guess you do.
Yes. First, I want to compliment Faye on the picture of her black cat.
We got black cats all over the place today.
Yeah. It's just
Halloween
one of my two cats.
Must be coming. All right.
Yeah. I was on last night's event, Benjamin, and I was wondering a little bit more about astro projection. We talked mm-hmm. about astro projection a little bit and right. compared to possible vision. I don't mm-hmm. know if it really matters knowing the difference or knowing anything more about it, but that has been a lingering question. If there's any more information you could share about that.
Sure. Of course, a vision is just a vision. They come spontaneously in shamanic processes and sometimes other times. And when visions arise, you just work with them as sees fit. Astral projection is where your spirit actually leaves your body and goes out and travels. It's sometimes called second physical. In shamanic parlance, they have three worlds, middle world, lower world, upper world. Astral travel would be a middle world phenomenon. And let me know, define my terms so I haven't totally lost you. Middle world is this physical reality, but with awareness of its energy. You feel and perceive energy, the subtle stuff. Lower world is like a fantasy movie, power animals, shape-shifting beings, you know, just they can morph and, you know, it's quite unpredictable and fantastical down there. And that's a different realm of reality. And then, of course, the upper realms is like angels and ascended masters and beings of love and light and white light and really beautiful energy like that. So astral travel is where your spirit has slipped out of your body, and it's flying around, and it can go anywhere in the middle world. And astral travel, I think by definition, only happens in the physical world. So it's you're still in 3D reality, but you're like a ghost just flying around. And I had an astral travel once in an ayahuasca ceremony where I went to the moon and back, and
wow.
They had just crashed a rocket into it deliberately and created a crater on it. And I actually went to that crater and could feel how the moon was saying, "Ow, that hurt."
Oh,
I wasn't planning it all happened very spontaneously, but that was my first full out-of-body experience with astral travel. And the caution there is, I know some people who do a lot of astral traveling. A lot of people do it sort of spontaneously. They've been doing it since they were kids and didn't think anything unusual about it. But the danger of astral travel is if you leave your body and leave it unguarded, other beings can slip in. So you want to be
right.
careful. And for me, if I was going to be doing astral, I have no desire personally to do astral traveling because I like the upper worlds and the spiritual realms better. But if you do, then make sure your body's protected. You're either having someone else holding, sacred space, or you've set a strong container and you've got kind of feelers there. So if you sense any being that you don't want in your body, trying to mess with it, then you can pop right back. With astral travel, you can like snap back instantly like a rubber band. So you can
Okay.
get back quickly. But it's not something to do just for, for jollies.
Yeah.
You're gonna astral travel, I would suggest doing it purposefully and for good cause. It can be done, there's certainly good uses for astral travel. You can do it in an attitude of service, and certainly lots of good things could happen, but you don't want to go around just being a peeping Tom and just looking at things you shouldn't be looking at or things like that in a real immature way.
Right. The only other time that I suspect it happened was a similar situation when I was concerned about a loved one. I don't do it in, it doesn't seem to happen intentionally. Those are the only two times I think it might have happened. And so it's rather accidental and just comes from, I guess, a longing to be there for somebody. In terms of protecting myself in that, in terms of that happening, I suppose just keep my house of high energy. It always seems to happen if I'm in meditation, or the other time was dreaming. So I can't, since I'm not doing it intentionally, I guess the best I could do is keep my house. I don't know. I mean, I've got a sort of Buddhist altar in my bedroom, and I usually use votive candles that are battery operated. You have any other suggestions for protecting myself since it's accidental?
If it's accidental, I mean, it's just going to happen when it happens. If it's,
Okay.
my comments about being deliberate about it would be if you're doing it purposefully.
Okay.
But if you are just generally holding a high vibration energy and your house is generally has good high vibration energy, if you slip out accidentally, typically it's going to be fine. And if you
Okay.
did, have some kind of being start messing with you while you were away with your body, then that can be remedied as well. It's not like a unsolvable catastrophe or anything.
Right. Okay.
Yeah,
Thank
so
you.
it's those are just general cautions. The other people will be hearing this who might, want to astral travel on purpose. So I wanted to put those proper cautions into the mix.
Right. Thank you so much.
Yeah, great question, Deb. Thank you. I think Stephanie was next. Stephanie, did you want to throw the next question in?
Hello. You hear me?
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay, good. Okay, thanks. I have several comments, but I'll just do one at a time and we can go
Okay.
around.
Okay, good.
The last time we got together and spoke in one of these groups, we talked about doing invocations while you sleep, or programming yourself to have it work while you sleep.
Yeah.
Okay. So I've been doing that.
Okay.
And one night I had a dream. I'll be very brief about it. I know these things can be annoying.
Okay.
I had two trusted friends in there, one who had passed away a couple of years ago. And I was, I guess on some level, there was a lot of mishmashy stuff going on, but this is the main gist of the dream. I must have been trying to send an intention out to universe, and my deceased friend was there, and he said, I had this piece of cake. It was a chocolate cake, piece of chocolate cake, and it was decorated with like blue and white frosting with clouds, that kind of a sky look to it. He said, oh, you just send it up into the sky and you'll send your intention out to universe. And then my other friend, my other trusted friend who's still with us, popped in and said, oh, that's a great idea. And then there was that little thing, you know, when your intuitive, your intuition takes off and says it's a yes. For some reason, the dream, it's like, oh, yeah, we got to do this. It's amazing. So he found some fireworks and sent the piece of cake up into the sky. Okay. So that was kind of a response back to my invocation. And since then, things at work, I'm really not happy at my job right now. I'm trying to find something different. It's really hard. It's been subtle, but it's gotten better. I've gotten better hours. The schedule is a little better. So I'm cautiously optimistic about it. It's kind of starting to slide now that I've got kind of a tough schedule coming up.
Stephanie, have you changed topics? Are we still on your original topic?
Yeah, I'm talking about I did the invocation. I said, remove all negative energies from me while I sleep for the greatest good. I'm just kind of paraphrasing. I had this dream that was kind of a sign. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be confusing. And then in real life, work had kind of gotten better.
Okay, good.
So it's kind of subtle. So I feel kind of good about it. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Okay.
I'll just put it that way.
Okay, yeah. So the invocation you're using is very broad, and it, lots of stuff could happen that interpreted as a result, or it could have been stuff that was happening anyway. Again, I hope you'll keep reporting back on your things. When I say do an invocation, usually that's calling for a specific shift of energy in that very moment. Like, I call for healing right now. I call for awakening right now. I'm calling a particular field of energy right now. That's kind of how the invocations are normally used. What you're doing is more of an alternate version, if you will. But hey, if it works and you're getting good results, go for
I'm
it.
just kind of if anybody else wants to try it, that's I'm just reporting back, so to let you know.
Yeah. So again, what you're doing is really beyond the scope of how I define invocation work. Like I said, for me, an invocation is I now am calling my higher self to make an energetic change right now. Like, I should be feeling it within the next few seconds. It should be obvious that what I'm calling it is happening in that very moment. What you're doing is calling for more like general trends in life, which to me is a little bit different. That's a little more law of attraction than invocation. Do you see the distinction I'm making?
Yeah, I understand. I
Yeah.
understand.
But again, it sounds great. And if you're getting great outcomes, then what you're doing sounds like it's reaping positive results. I'm being very technical here. And just saying that what you're doing isn't exactly like invocations as I present them, but who cares what you call it? If you're doing it and it's giving you a good outcome, keep it going.
All right. I understand. So I'm just kind of reporting back because we had discussed that.
Yeah. So let me also compliment you on your adventurous spirit. A lot of people just say, "Oh, I have to do it exactly the way Benjamin has presented it. I better not change a word." But I encourage people, hey, try stuff. We have human lives. In my own life, I often will try to do things by the book and keep it a certain way, and inevitably it starts shifting and adjusting and getting customized, even if I didn't mean to. So, I would never deny that pleasure to anybody else. So yeah, and we've all got free will. We can all experiment and try stuff. And I encourage people, if they have an idea about, oh, let me try this invocation, try it a little different way, or maybe this little tweaky thing that's not quite an invocation. Hey, if it has good outcomes, go for it. That's how we learn stuff and discover new cool things. Cool. All right. Thanks, Stephanie. I really appreciate your
Thank you.
feedback. Yeah. Okay. Looks like
I have another question.
well, actually, Faye,
Oh,
there's
do we have new
we
people?
have.
Never
We
mind.
do.
Let me
We
turn
do.
that off.
Okay. I appreciate your eagerness, though. But Britt and Roberta are here, and neither of them has asked a question yet. Would either of you like to jump in with a question? Britt, hey.
Hey, yeah, I have a question. Thanks for speaking about the astral travel. That's why I came in late, but I heard that. That was cool.
Yeah,
Okay. So, can you hear me
you sound
first?
good.
Okay. My question is, I'm wondering yours or other people's experiences with entities versus energies. And how to tell if it is, and I will first I'm kind of like define I'm one I would like to define, is there a difference, and how other people or you tell if it actually is an entity of a, like, so anyway, so I'll just let y'all, and then I'll ask questions if I have more, but that's where my question's at.
Okay, yeah, if I were to answer that just very broadly. An entity is a being with volition. You know, it can act independently and make things happen as a conscious being. An energy is not, I mean, everything's conscious to some degree, right? But an energy is sent by something, and an energy shows up, and it is what it is, and it's you know, not intelligent. It just has its vibration and has its effect. But an entity is a conscious being that can, you know, act and respond and be proactive and things like that. And entities can be both high or low vibration. You know, like ascended masters and archangels are entities. They're just super high vibration entities. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you have a follow-up to that?
I guess what I'm trying to figure out is I'm starting to see them more, actually, like, but it's not pictures. It's not like
Are you talking entities here?
both. That's what I'm
Okay.
saying. That's what
Okay,
I'm
good.
noticing,
Good.
but I know I've talked to you before about this, but I'm hearing vibration, first of all. And I've
Okay.
been doing that for a long time, but I'm
Okay.
actually starting to, instead of like, it's not like a person standing in front of me, it's more like I see the vibration moving,
Yes.
like in the air, like in the particles. Like, does that
Yes.
make sense?
Yeah, totally. I've seen
Okay. So I'm seeing that. And then, like, for example, today, my little boy, he had like a fever. And I was like, okay, something's wrong, something's off. So I had him sit down and I did some Reiki on him. And it was like a little shortly after I did a few symbols and I saw something shoot out of him.
Good
And
work.
I was like, okay. And I asked him, I said, okay, was first of all, I'm thinking, okay, was that a fly? Or was it a bug that shot across the room? And I said, or did you feel something release? And he said, yes. And I said, where? And he said, right here. In his third eye. And so for me, when that's kind of what got me, okay, was that an energy? Was that something that's blocking his chakra? Because he was saying he was feeling dizzy. Or was that an entity? And that's where my question is coming from, is actually like interpreting.
Well, they go, you know, energy and mass can change one to the other. Einstein proved that. This reminds me of a really vivid experience I had in one of my ayahuasca ceremonies in the jungle when I was on a dieta. And I felt all this energy kind of flushing up in my skull out to the, it was like in my head, but it sort of the dark energy migrated out to the edge of my skull. And it felt like little bugs were taking off from my head. So to me, it felt like it initially was dark energy being pushed out. And then it literally manifested into what felt like little physical beings leaving. So I think energies and entities can transmute one to the other. And to me, it's less a concern about, I mean, if it's lower vibration, whether it's an energy or an entity, you would pretty much deal with it in the same way. You want to say, okay, let's see if we can flush it out or transmute it to love and light or you know, get it out of my field one way or another. And I'm not sure there's really a difference in the approach. You know, the healing invocation would certainly work either way. And so if you felt anything out of sorts, whether you as an entity or an energy, you know, who cares? You know, just call the healing invocation and put your attention wherever that discomfort is, and the higher self will take care of it either way.
Yeah. So I guess, and that just, and I won't take too much more time, but I guess it's kind of like, I guess for me, because I am interested in knowing the difference. I am, but just because I've felt different things and like, in my sessions, I'm like, I don't think it was a being, but it was definitely an energy. And it's just like, but I would like to know, especially if it's my children.
Well, if
So,
the thing is acting like a conscious being,
yeah.
and you know, if you can see it and it appears to be, it's taking on some kind of, you know, energetic form, like a creature of some kind. Often entities will show us insects, or you know, creatures that we identify as sort of creepy. You know, when I have experienced entities, they're usually, I remember in my early ayahuasca ceremonies, oh my God, I flushed thousands of those things out of me. It was insane. But they would look like little beetles or roaches or spiders, and just I've probably flushed thousands of those things out of me in my early years. You know, I had no idea how covered over I was when I started my work. So yeah, I mean, we're all carrying entities, high or low vibration. You know, even the highest vibration people I know still have some dark stuff in them to be cleared. And if you perceive that, it might look like just heavy energy. It might look like entities. Depends on probably your vision and how you're tuned. So, you know, entities of all vibrations, low, middle, and higher around. And it's just good to know that that's kind of how the world works, and just become skillful in working with it. Don't get creeped out or frightened. It's just, you know, that's there's light, there's dark, there's gray. And that's how the world is built, both in the physical and energetic realms.
Would you agree, or this is how I'm thinking, is that negative, like a negativity could also be an energy present? I mean,
I mean, it's an axiomatic. If you've got a negative entity, it's going to be carrying negative energy.
Okay.
And vice versa, a positive entity will be carrying positive energy. And I wish it was just black and white, but there's all shades of gray. I mean, I just read a biography of Elon Musk and Steve Jobs, you know, both who did incredibly positive things. Well, Elon still is. Both have done incredibly good works, and they both have really, you know, violent tempers, and, you know, have done really dark things and abused people terribly. And, you know, it's, you know, they embody both really low and really high energies altogether, you know. And I guess if you wanted to break it down in internal family systems idea, everyone has all these parts. And some of us have parts that are really light and high in vibration. Other parts are darker and traumatized and, you know, carry more heavy energy. Doesn't mean they're evil, but they're just dark, you know, they're just carrying burdens.
Okay.
You know,
thank you.
And, you know, if the law of one's correct, then there are beings who choose the path of darkness deliberately. And you'd ask them, are you deliberately doing ill? They'd say, hell yeah, that's what I'm here for, you know? So basically, you know, so there's all kinds of flavors of beings out there, if that's true. And I am assuming anyone who comes into Awakening Plus is on the path of love and light and service to others. So our job is to hold the highest vibration we can. And when we see dark energies in those we love or in ourselves, then we have the skillful means to work with that and clean them out and raise our vibration higher. So is that I elaborated a bit, but is that a helpful response, Britt?
Absolutely. That's I'm just trying to learn the difference. And like you said, the means to get rid of them is the same, because I can definitely feel that personally, mm-hmm. but I guess it's just a matter of, I just would like to know. It might be my Scorpio that just needs to know things. So, okay. Thank you so much.
No, I love you. And that's what Ask Us Anything is for, is to learn stuff and ask questions, and I'll answer to the best of my ability. Let's see. I believe Roberta was next in. Roberta, did you have a question?
No, I really didn't have a question. I just wanted to explain my lateness. I couldn't find the statement about tonight's show.
Okay.
And I kept looking and I kept looking, and I said, but it's got to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, my brain kicked in and said, oh no, is this one of those things that ended up in trash? And sure enough, there you were. Okay. So that's why I was late, because I kept looking in all the right places.
No worries. Right. There's at least one person who came in after you. So no worries. We don't require her on time.
But I just felt badly to be coming in late. So I just thought, since it wasn't real busy, I would just explain I can't believe this happened.
Okay. Well, I've never put out a mandate that you have to be on time for any of our events. People come in late all the time. It's no big deal.
That's why I did try to slip in. Thank you.
Good. Yeah, you're welcome here, Roberta. And just as a reminder, everyone, I give the Zoom information for every event twice. You know, there's that email that goes out usually on Saturday morning that says, okay, here's all the coming week's events. Here's all the Zoom info for them all. And then the morning of the event, I send another email with all the Zoom info. So there's two shots at getting that info each time, just FYI for everyone. And then Laura, you're the only one who hasn't asked a question yet. Would you like to jump in?
No, just here to listen.
Just auditing. Okay. Okay, so we've done round one. I'm pretty sure, everyone has had a chance to speak. So whoever wants to jump in with a second question, unmute and speak. Faye.
I have a question.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know too much about shamanic practices or kind of the belief system. So I wanted to ask you, Have you gone or have you accompanied anyone to the Bardo,
The
like in a
Bardo.
shamanic Cerrado?
If I'm recalling right, Bardo is a Buddhist concept, Tibetan Buddhist specifically, and it's about moving after death into the beyond realms. Am I remembering that
Well,
correctly?
it's well, you know, I'm not like a bona fide Buddhist, but from my understanding, from Jungé Mingyur Rinpoche, it's kind of the in-between space between earth and heaven. And like I've listened to a lot of NDE, near-death experience people, and they kind of hang around and talk to their guide and or their family or whatever before they go to see source energy or spirit or God. And then they come back again. So it's kind of that in-between place. So do you do that in shamanic ceremonies? Do you go there?
Well, first let me say that when I first heard about Bardo, I thought it was money you spent to get a drink.
There you go. Poker chips.
But all seriously, I don't put a lot of labels on my experiences. I've certainly been in all kinds of dimensions and realms, especially in my ayahuasca work,
Okay.
hundreds of times. And whether any of that was technically the Bardo, I couldn't speak to, but what I can say is I've been in many, many dimensions above and beyond physical. I've been in states that felt like just absolute awesome, blissful unity. I've gone into black holes and come through the other side with nothing but the consciousness that I was carrying to be aware of the process. If I haven't been in the Bardo, I've been in something similar. Maybe.
Okay.
But again,
Okay.
it's not my nature to try to put a lot of, I know that the Buddhists and the Hindus have these very detailed descriptions of all the levels and the sequences and the processes to get there. And I've read some of that stuff, but that I just want to keep it simple. And to me, it's less important. My experience of the realms once I get beyond physical is there's not a lot of thought there, or really not any. It's just a being state. And when I get into an altered realm, I can be pure awareness there. I find that I don't even want to direct myself there. I just want to be there, and whatever needs to happen happens spontaneously. So
Okay.
I never ego direct when I'm in a higher state. I just let the state guide, if you will. And
Okay.
that is, it's very hard to describe those realms because language doesn't really apply and our human concepts don't really fit what happens in those realms. But all I can say is, I've experienced many different levels beyond the physical realm, and they're extraordinary. And whether any of them is what a Buddhist would call the Bardo, I can't speak to that.
Okay, thanks. Have you had a near-death experience?
No, I have not been on
Okay.
the verge of physical death. I've been in many, many, no, not in the sense of, well, let me put it this way. Not in the sense of my human life was in imminent danger of termination, and that led to a powerful mystical experience. Never been at that point of crisis in this lifetime. I remember an ayahuasca ceremony a while back where I knew that in order to go to where I had to be willing to physically die. And I've had a number of ceremonies where it was understood that, okay, to go to this next level, I have to be willing to give up my physical body, if that's what it takes. And I've made that decision a number of times in ceremonies. I've always survived. But sometimes you get to a space where the only way to the next level is absolute and complete surrender with no conditions, including the possibility of physical death. I remember one ceremony where I said, I've got to have some paper and pen. And I wrote out a little quick last will and testament, three or four sentences, just the bare essence. And then it's okay, now I can go into this process. And I surrendered, and I truly didn't know if I would survive. I've had those kind of experiences, but not a classic NDE where, I'm teetering on death's edge and I'm out of my body having this, mystical experience going into the tunnel, seeing the being of light and then being turned back or anything like that.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Well, what you're describing is very much of being able to be total surrender to dying and not holding on to life is very much what Thich Nhat Hanh and Jungé Mingyur Rinpoche both talk about. And so that's why I was wondering if the shamanic experience, and I'm not into theory or dogma, but
Yeah.
it's more the experience. So
Right.
I was just curious. It sounds like the shamanic path is very much like Buddhist in that way.
Well, we're all, if
The
we're
same
doing,
path.
well, it depends on the flavor of shamanism. Now, there are
Right.
many shamans in more, more, I don't want to say primitive, but more basic Aboriginal societies or societies that are more like humans used to be. And some of those shamans have no spiritual interest at all. They're interested in predicting where's the game going to be so we can hunt it. Someone is sick, we need to heal them.
Okay.
Very strictly 3D worldly concerns. And if they're traveling into the inner worlds, it's only to get information that will help them in their physical worlds, or to communicate with ancestors or spirits that are working with that tribe, but always with the idea that we need to, ensure the tribe's livelihood and prosperity and abundance in whatever that means to them. So there are many shamanic practitioners who are truly unconcerned about spiritual awakening or going into those celestial realms. But that's just not even in their conceptual framework. Okay. So I obviously am interested in those things. And so my shamanism has a lot of focus on awakening and enlightenment. So that is very central to how I do shamanism, but that's not true of all shamans. Now
Okay, well, that's very interesting.
that doesn't make me any better or worse than shamans who don't have that interest. That's just my particular predilection. Okay.
No, I understand, and I was asking about you personally, so thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, you're welcome. Awakening is what I'm all about. So that's
Fabulous.
central to how I do
That's
things.
great.
Yeah. So great question, Faye. I'm getting to talk about all kinds of stuff today I don't usually talk about. So this is fun. We get to
Well,
cover
it's good to hear
territory.
it. Thank you very much for sharing.
You're welcome. Thank you. I see that Sandra has popped in. Sandra, welcome. And I'm only singling you out, Sandra, because you're the only one who hasn't yet asked a question. And if you do have a question, Sandra, you're welcome to unmute and ask it. Or not. You can just hang out and listen if you wish. So, Sandra, if you don't unmute in the next 10 seconds, I'll assume that you're not interested in doing so and you're here just to kind of hang out and see what's up. So, again, if later you choose to unmute and ask a question, feel free to jump at any time because, again, right now you're the only one present who hasn't had a chance to ask one, and I want to give everyone a chance. So, Sandra, welcome. And I'll move on to let someone who's already asked a question ask another one. So who's next with their next question?
Yeah, I will ask one if that's okay.
Oh yeah.
I wouldn't. So I had to leave the IFS class early, unfortunately, but I still learned a lot, I feel like, and I will take the course eventually. However, what really intrigued me was you talking about shamanic soul retrieval. And I was very curious about that. And I guess I'm wondering, is that have to do with like someone's source of illness is where they lost their soul or something? So anyway, I was just wondering a little bit about that, and if you could speak to that.
Okay. Yeah, let me back up a little and give the basic idea that you're getting to here. For several years before I learned IFS as a shaman, I was doing soul retrieval. And there are, more traditional shamanic methods to go find a part of you that's been scared away or traumatized off and to bring that part back. Once I learned how to do IFS, I abandoned the traditional shamanic approach and did it through IFS instead because I found it worked better. Internal family systems therapy is technically psychology, but I love to say it's soul retrieval dressed up as psychology so that people don't get freaked out by it. I don't know if the founder, Richard Schwartz, thinks of it in that way, but it seems that way to me. So the way in soul loss in this context means you've had a trauma and a part of you. Of course, IFS speaks of each person having many parts, oneself, the awakened self, and then many parts, dozens, some healthy and high functioning, some traumatized and split off. And when you are traumatized, that wounded part will leave the main body of the family and will be off kind of on a string floating separately. And that part is lost to you in terms of practical helpfulness. And usually it's out stuck in a time loop, endlessly reliving the trauma. I mean, it doesn't even know it's stuck in a time loop. It just, you know, it's just stuck there in that moment in time forever until you go get it back. So IFS is a technology that lets you go. I'm vastly simplifying it here, but it allows you to go to the wounded part, unburden it so it's healthy and vital again, and bring it back home. And I could elaborate more on the details of that, but that's the basic idea. When I talk about soul retrieval or soul loss, I'm talking about a part of you that you had originally that some kind of trauma, you know, split off that part. You lost some of your essence, some of your vitality, some of your juju, and getting that part healed or unburdened and reclaimed brings that vitality and gifts and talents back. So, and also I will say axiomatically what I've observed after years of doing IFS work is that to the extent that that part is troublesome, in other words, the more difficulty it's giving you, once it's unburdened, reclaimed, the more the boost of vitality and good energy comes back. Because IFS is very adamant, there are no bad parts. You know, if a part is misbehaving, it's because it is wounded, it's traumatized, and the extent of its dark vitality, if you will show you the potential of its high vitality once you unburden it and bring it back. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. Because, and the reason I say that is because when you said the words shamanic soul retrieval, it just like hit me in my chest. I was like, like that sounds amazing. You know, like my clients and stuff, it's always like this one part in their life. And like, that's where they say everything, you know, I'm no longer that person, or I'm forever changed. And I was just like, you know, if that could, I'm wondering now, it's like my wheels are turning. So, and I can let whoever else go next, but I appreciate the clarification. And I guess on my next question, and you don't have to answer this, we can just move on. But like, you know, do you go into the spirit world and bring it back, or do you go into their energy and bring it back?
You go into the lower world.
Okay.
IFS is done in the shamanic lower world.
Okay.
And I defined those worlds a few minutes ago on this call. But okay. Lower worlds is, you know, it's like I said, it's like a fantasy movie. That's where things show up like power animals and energy beings and you know, not the high celestial angelic, you know, ascended master kind of beings, but, you know, other kinds of beings that can be light, that can be dark. Usually there's muddier energy in the lower. It's not, and by the way, it's not hell. As soon as you say lower world, because of our Christian, you know, culture, that must be hell. Not at all. There is no hell in shamanism.
Okay.
But it's where things can shapeshift and show up as anything at all. When I do IFS with someone, I say, okay, just, you know, the part may look like a younger you, or it might look like anything at all. There may be no visuals. You may just have a feeling. So what I like to say is any perception of a part is valid. As long as you can perceive it and communicate with it, we can do the work. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to jump in real quick.
And before you do, Stephanie, the one thing, in my opinion, the term soul retrieval is kind of misleading. If I were being more accurate, if I were naming it, I would call it shamanic part retrieval. Because, you know, when I think of a soul, I think we only have one soul. That's the animating spirit that keeps the human alive. And, you know, if we had truly lost our soul, the body would fall over dead. Literally. So, you know, what people call soul retrieval, if we were being precise and using IFS language, we would call it part retrieval, just as a little technical clarification from my own perspective. I'm sorry. Stephanie, before you jump in, Sandra has unmuted and I offered.
Okay, my question for someone who's having a mental breakdown, how does that help?
Ask your question again, please.
For someone who's having a mental breakdown, how does that help them?
How does what help them?
The shamanic.
So if they're truly having a mental breakdown, it's possible it could help them. Now, I, you know, sometimes they may be in a space where, you know, a shamanic process might or might not help them in that moment. Depends on the severity, and you know, a lot of factors go into whether shamanic work is efficacious. If it's so, basically, a mental breakdown. Again, there's many varieties of that as well. So there's no guarantees in what I'm answering here. But if the mental breakdown is being caused by an entity infiltration, if they're having that problem, if part of the
Right, where
causes.
they're seeing, they're seeing things that they're feeling things that does not exist.
Well, they don't exist physically, but they
Right.
may very well exist in the astral realm or the non-physical realm. And
Right.
you know, because our psychological establishment for the largest part doesn't recognize the validity of non-physical beings, you know, a person might genuinely be plagued by dark entities and they say, "Oh, you're hallucinating." No, that shit's real. You know, and a shaman would say, "Yep, they've got all kinds of dark entities around them. I've seen people like that." Okay, so if the shaman can work with that person, and if they're that severe, they're having an actual breakdown, probably the shaman would need to shoo those things away and get some clarity, so the person has a little space to retrieve some level of sanity. And you know, then in my opinion, if that person, see, my own belief is if a person's that severely afflicted, that is actually an initiation. You know,
Okay.
they're being severely tested and given the opportunity to meet the challenge and have a tremendous empowerment of their own consciousness and power. So, you know, I believe, you know, I have a my own premises, challenge is always here to encourage us to grow, heal, and evolve. You know,
Okay.
I prefer not to go into the paradigm. I'm having all the challenges. I'm just a poor, worthless victim and deserve what I'm getting. You know, I don't buy into that kind of thinking. Okay. So if one can acknowledge there are dark entities, you know, that's one possible reason why a person could be having a breakdown. And if those entities can be cleared and the person can be taught how to work with energy, call in their own embodied awakening to empower themselves, call on how to have their higher self get those things out of them, or call on other divine beings like ascended masters or archangels to, you know, get the things out. That can be a good start. Another possibility, Sandra, is not necessarily a dark entity, but their own traumatized parts. You know, some people have breakdowns because they have severe traumas and wounds and they haven't healed them, and those things can feel overwhelming. I've worked with people who had to deal with that too. And by doing, you know, in my experience, a combination of invocations and internal family systems therapy work can be very helpful in that way too. Now, it's not always enough. You know, I've also worked with people and tried those modalities and it just didn't take, and they just weren't helped at all by that. And sometimes there is a place for psychiatric care, sometimes there is a place for psychiatric drugs to stabilize and just take the edge off what they're experiencing. However, it's also been my experience that if a person is really on the full road to healing, that I've, you know, this isn't appropriate for all. But I have had some people who have gotten off the psychiatric drugs. The psychiatric drugs are helpful in that they numb out the more dark emotions, and so they stabilize and create a more calmness. But they also prevent you from feeling them, and you have to feel it to heal it ultimately. If you want the final and full healing of the trauma, you have to really be able to feel it completely one last time to let it clear. And with the modalities that I use, you're able to have those feelings without being overwhelmed. It may be intense, it's never too much. And
Okay, I have a niece. She's like that, and
I'm
but the drugs is not working.
okay.
When she comes around me and I let her do the deep breathing and stuff like that, she's fine.
Oh,
But
good.
when she's not where I am, she's hearing these voices, and the drugs is not working.
Okay. All right. For her, it might be at least worth a try to work with a shamanic practitioner. So that, because, you know, if your niece is able and willing to do it, if she's willing to at least work with the idea that maybe this is an initiation, maybe I am receiving this challenge because it is time for me to grow in consciousness and empower myself and gain new ability and potency. And that's the very reason I'm being challenged. You know, and I wouldn't. You know, for me, often if there's voices, those are real entities, or those are real inner parts trying to talk to her. And she's identifying them as voices. So that there could be a very valid shamanic process happening that can be skillfully dealt with. And it's possible she could work with her catalyst and use it as a springboard to awakening and growth and healing. You know, no particular outcome can be guaranteed, but it might be an approach worth trying if she's open to it.
Okay.
Because it sounds like what she's doing isn't working very well.
No, the medication is not working.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you know, I'd be happy to work with her if you feel that's appropriate, or any other, you know, skilled shamanic practitioner. There's tons of them out there. So,
no, I would rather you work with her.
Okay. Well, yeah, communicate with me, you know, afterwards if you wish, and I'll be happy to discuss more particulars if you want me to consider doing some shamanic healing work with her.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for bringing that up, Sandra.
Okay.
Okay, I see that Deb is unmuted. Although before Deb, before we jump on you, Stephanie had jumped in and I wanted to let her, and Deb, can you be next in line?
Yeah, I think that was an accident. I'm sorry.
Oh, you didn't mean to unmute?
Okay. I did not.
Oh, no worries.
Sorry. Okay.
All right, Stephanie, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry. I need to find a raise the hand icon because I think that's handy. And the reason I wanted to jump in behind Bree. Oh gosh, did I say that?
You pun. Oh, well done.
Yeah. Here we go. Okay. I was trying to jump in behind Bree because I had kind of a question about IFS too. And that's why I jumped in. Okay. So you do the IFS process and we've done that. Can you use invocations to in conjunction with that? Like say you're having
I'm actually doing that more and more. You know, I mentioned a few minutes ago, I can't do things straight anymore. And I was able to do IFS by the book for a while. And now invocations are blending in. I'll work with a client. We start with an invocation and one of their parts will start firing up and we'll work with the part. Sometimes we do IFS and I've literally had clients that were working with an inner part and we led the part through an invocation and it worked.
Yeah.
So I'm finding a lot of mix and match now between IFS and the invocations, and they're spontaneously working in side by side in the most interesting ways that I hadn't expected.
Yeah. Like when we had our IFS conversation of the formal one, you know, mine went beautifully. It was just so, it's like I'd already done it and I won't rehash that, but it's like, I kind of wondered if that one part did integrate back into me. And I was wondering maybe I can do an invocation to help it integrate back into me.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. Okay.
You could just say maximum integration of this part into the inner family that serves highest good. See what happens. You can. I've never actually invoked IFS process, but hey, see what happens.
Yeah. Okay.
That couldn't hurt.
That was my question this time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I like your adventurous spirit, Stephanie. Your innovators like you can break exciting new ground.
Yeah, I just gotta always kind of own stuff and make it my own. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Thanks.
I do the same, but usually not on purpose. It just kind of happens. Okay, let me see. I don't see any brand new folks. So anyone who has not asked a second question, you're welcome to do so now. Laura.
Since it was brought up, can you talk a little bit more about initiation? Because it was mentioned to me the other day, and I was like, huh? So, yeah.
Well, broadly speaking, I assume you're talking about in a spiritual context?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, initiation is just some kind of process where you are, you know, initiated or introduced into a new level, usually a new level of awakening or ability or whatever. And by their nature, initiations are usually challenging. And it is very common for initiations, well, formal initiations like shamanic and indigenous, usually involve, you know, the person being initiated knowing they're going to go through a grueling, difficult process, you know, to test their mettle. Sometimes the function of initiation is to induce the altered state in which they connect with the spiritual being, the awakened state that the initiation is designed to facilitate. So in traditional things, initiation, I mean, broadly speaking, it just means being, you know, introduced, initiated into a new level of ability or consciousness. Sure. Traditionally, it has involved challenging and difficult circumstances. It doesn't always have to be that way. And again, my own trend these days, since I've you know, I did it the hard way for so long, and now I'm being shown there is an easy way. I'm learning that initiation, while it can be intense, you know, because initiation spiritually almost always involves some kind of heavy energy having to come up and be cleared, because that's what was in the way of the next level in the first place. What I've learned is you can have the initiation and have that heavy stuff come up, and by delegating the work to your higher self or your divine helpers, they can take that out for you. And in this case, the initiation can be much quicker, easier, and more gentle than the more traditional forms. Now, I know many people who really are into the intensity and the hardcore suffering that a traditional initiation can bring. I'm just not so eager anymore. I've learned to have a bias toward how easy and gentle and effortless can we make this? And part of my reason is, you know, I'm trying to create a path. I'm trying to give people a way forward that is doable for lots of people. I would love ultimately for a huge number of people to be helped by the initiations and the things I do, or at least I'm spreading around. And if it's arduous and difficult and painful, you know, that's going to greatly limit the number of people who can do it. But if we're going to have a true Aquarian age and a true global awakening, we have to have some form of initiation, you know, that is easy, gentle, and quick, or most people are never going to do it. So that's why I'm excited about the invocations, because they offer a form of initiation that is so much quicker, easier, and more gentle than the traditional forms.
That's fair. So sometimes a healing crisis can be an initiation, in that it's coming up to like help person level up.
I would say in the vast majority of cases, that is true.
Okay.
In my experience. Yeah. You know, I think everything in life is purposeful. I don't think there's such a thing as random. You know, the universe is intelligence down to its, you know, atoms. And anything that happens to a human is in some synchronistic way designed to help them move forward and wake up some more, is my own belief. Yeah. Roberta.
You know, I like words and working with the letters and words.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have, quote unquote, decided that unconditional love is the beginning of evolution.
Okay.
If you look at the letters, evolve is love spelt backwards. The beginning of evolution is EVOL.
Okay.
Which is love, very unconditional. It's no longer fitting any of the boundaries that are required to have LOVE. And I think the love that I grew up being not exposed to had an awful lot of conditions.
Yeah.
So to me, the understanding of what unconditional love could possibly be is quote unquote earth shattering.
Yes.
Okay. And that with that understanding, as those of us who don't have but a memory of mislove,
mm-hmm.
that will begin and facilitate actual human evolution.
Beautiful. Thanks for sharing that, Roberta.
And it's not easy to go through whatever we've gone through to figure out what the difference is of unconditional.
Thank you.
First person I had to practice it with was me. It took an awful long time. It was a very long time before I figured out. And part of it was not even my figuring. I contend that one night sitting in the chair where I sat and read, thought, whatever, and just the feeling of, okay, you're okay.
Mm.
And I don't know where that came from. It wasn't that I had finished a long thought process of going, this works, that, you know, it was just like, I'm thirsty, or I like my hair, whatever. It was just a feeling. So I believe or feel that that's what gets accomplished when any of us send out healing energy without directly intending it to somebody. And I think that's what unconditional love is going to do.
Nice.
If we fill the energies with more love than whatever else is kicking around in them, then the love is going to be what takes over.
Nice. Thank you, Roberta.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah. Appreciate your insights. Okay, anybody else have a second question who hasn't posed one yet? All right. Anybody got a third question? Yeah, we can go for 90 minutes here, and we're just hitting the hour mark. So we can go a little longer if we need to or want to. Anybody else got anything? All tapped out on questions? Nobody's got anything?
Well, I have something I can share. Was it Brett who talked about the dark entities?
Yes, she did ask about that. Yeah.
Well, I have a story I can share if nobody has a question right now.
Okay.
I hadn't really had much, any experience with dark entities before, and this was maybe, I don't know, 15 years ago, and I had gone to the bank. I was not in a good place. I was upset. Something had happened that left me in a emotionally not a good place. Mm-hmm. I went to the bank, and I took out six $100 bills.
Mm-hmm.
I put them in my wallet, and I closed it and put it in my purse. And it was about a mile or two to go to the other bank. I wanted to take this money and move it immediately because we had something we had to take care of. So
mm-hmm.
I don't normally drive with my windows open.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove from the bank, and as I'm driving, this is it's not like the highway, or it's just a regular residential area. You're driving maybe, you know, I don't know, 20, 30 miles an hour and mm-hmm. less than that. And so as I'm driving, I watch this. It looked like a transparent silk black scarf come in through one back window, swirl around my car, and it went out. And I thought, isn't that the damnedest thing? I get to the other bank. I open my wallet, and I had very carefully counted the money when I left the other bank. I mean, there was no mistake that I miscounted it or anything. I got to the other bank and I was short a $100 bill.
Wow.
And I went and I talked to somebody and I went and he said, yeah, he said, you know, if you're in a bad place, they'll mess with your shit. So that was a very big lesson for me to catch myself. If I find myself in an emotional place that's not good, to reframe whatever it is as soon as I can and get out of that space. Because when people would talk about being attached by dark entities or things happen, I would go, oh, that's interesting. I said, oh, but you know, it hasn't happened to me. And after this happened, I went, well, now I clearly understand how something like that would happen. So that was my lesson for that year.
Yeah. You've inspired me to, was there more you wanted to say?
No, that was just it.
Yeah. You inspired my own dark entity story. This was years ago before I even had moved to Asheville and started doing plant spirit work. And I was still at this point very psychically insensitive. So it was kind of surprising this was so vivid. I had separated from my partner and had moved to a different place. And had discovered she had, I won't go into the details, it's not, the details aren't, but she had tried to do something harmful to harm the property I was renting and had failed. And I saw actual evidence of her attempt to do the harm, which she had not been able to do for various reasons. And again, the details of that are not important. But I was later that day, I was just sitting in bed, just kind of letting my mind wander. And I started having thoughts, you know, she tried to do something really nasty to me. Maybe I should do something nasty to her. And these are not the kind of thoughts I normally have. These are, you know, I'm usually not at all like that. But my mind was drifting in that way. And it wasn't but a minute or two when I started having thoughts, vengeful thoughts, when in my third eye opened, I saw these two dark beings right in front of me. And they looked like something right out of a horror movie, kind of ghoulish, you know, kind of drippy, you know, not really human, kind of like, you know, protoplasmic, nasty looking things. And they had picked up my thoughts and they said, "Ooh, how can we help?"
Oh, wow.
And I was so shocked by this. I'd never had anything like this happen, but it was so clear. Okay. They picked up on my negative thoughts. That's their vibration. That's where they live. And if they can get me partnering with them, they can start dragging me down that path, you know? And I said, "No, thank you. You need to leave now." And I at that point knew enough to call on the bright white light, and I blasted them with it, and they scurried away, and they didn't bother me again. And I stopped that line of thought right there. I did not do any more, you know, even idle fantasizing about getting back at her for trying to do harm to me. So that was a very vivid lesson in how quickly a dark entity can show up if you start putting your mind in the wrong direction.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I can totally relate.
Yeah, there's beings all over the place, light, dark, gray, and they're very responsive to thoughts and orientations, and they're always looking for opportunities to serve. And for those dark beings, you know, that was their service. How can I help you do harm? You know, whereas a higher vibration, oh, how can I help you spread love and light? So all beings are serving in their own way. All right. Anybody else got anything?
I'll talk if nobody else will.
Sure. What you got?
Okay. And this, stop me if this is not appropriate, but I listened to I wasn't able to make Monday night's call.
Uh-huh.
It was really, really good. I listened to it on Tuesday. It was really good and really useful, even though I wasn't there.
Well, thank you.
But I couldn't help but notice one of the people, can I say his name? I mean, that's why I'm kind of hesitant. He's not here. I wanted to talk about one of the hot seats.
Go ahead and just say he.
E. Okay. It was the guy that had problems with bone marrow and the blood count.
Yeah.
Okay. And you had asked him if he had cleared himself before he was healing mm-hmm. for others. I think that was the gist of what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the past, he's been on healing calls, and he always asks for ancestral healing. And I thought, mm-hmm. if I'd been there on the call, I would have said something, but it's like, he's been doing that. So it was just something I noticed.
So I'm not quite clear what point you're driving at.
Well, okay. A couple of times when we do the healing calls where everybody gets in the hot seat and you walk through an invocation with them, not like the Monday night ones, but the other healing ones, he has asked for ancestral healing.
Right.
And so he has been calling forth and healing for his ancestors. So he has been healing for others.
Okay.
And then you picked up that that his issue that he was talking about Monday night was clearing for others.
Okay.
So if I'd been on the call, I would have made a note of that, or I would have said something in chat, but I just wanted to tell you, I noticed that. Now I'm going to try and get one of those calls, because that was really good.
Oh yeah.
And all the rounds are really good.
And you're referring to the Monday night call where we had an invocation. I originally called it an invocation masterclass. And then when I renamed it group coaching, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's yeah. I think it was the second hot seat person.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That was, you know, I truly didn't know going in how that call would go, but it was so juicy. It actually was so good. It was a best of. So
yeah, I hope you do it again when I can make it, because I would love to jump in on that.
Yeah, we'll be doing that with some frequency. Yeah, I'm sort of like, oh my god, you know, we're already doing like a about a dozen events a month, and there still is enough time to do all the cool things we could do. So
yeah, and then
so many cool things going on. Yeah,
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. On those calls, when the hot seat person is doing their work, is it, do we pick up on it too? I mean, can we? I mean, I kind of thought that, I felt like that was happening for me. I mean, yeah, do we get the healing too?
Totally. Yeah, that's the point. You know, remember, every call we do is held in the Akashic Records, and that's not just true for us. Anyone who does that kind of work, it's going to be in the Akashic Records because everything is, okay?
Okay.
And in the Akashic Records, you access it beyond time and space. That's why you can do one of our events or anyone's events, you know, years after it was done, and still have the full measure of energy available. Plus, you know, the divine allies are there with you right there when you're doing it, even if it's years later. And, you know, the divine allies are always there. So they're supporting you regardless of when you do the recording.
Okay.
So you can have very powerful experiences. And, you know, that's why I'm able to feel when I facilitate a call, I know that I'm feeling not just the energy of the live people, but the energies of everyone who's ever going to do it later too.
Cool.
It's fascinating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that when I started doing this kind of work, but it became apparent to me that's what's happening. So,
yeah. Well, it was a really good call and I really enjoyed it. I think I benefited from it.
Oh, good. I'm so glad, Stephanie. That's my intention.
Okay.
That's it. And that's actually a wondering. So I said, well, is this going to really be benefit to anyone who wasn't there on the live call? But clearly, yeah, absolutely it will be. Yeah. So, yeah, it's fun. Thank you for the good feedback. All right. Anyone else who wants to jump in? Deb, or Roberta, or Sandra, y'all got anything else? Roberta.
I'm all right.
You're okay, Sandra?
Yes, I'm okay.
Okay. Thanks for letting us know.
Question. Do you do one-on-one?
Oh, yeah. Go to astroshaman.com, astroshaman.com. And I do astrology. I do shamanic healing. I do life coaching. So, yeah, I do a whole lot of stuff one-on-one as well as Awakening Plus.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Roberta?
I have a strange question, and I have no idea where else to ask it.
Go for it.
Does anybody have any clue as to where the group Fifth Dimension came from and why they chose that name and the song about the age of Aquarius way back when? Woo Woo wasn't even talking about any of that.
Well, that was the 60s and there was a lot of woo woo going on by then. So
yeah. I realize that. I graduated high school in 60.
Right.
But so I'm just saying, the group, where did, and they dressed completely differently than the way other entertainment groups were dressing then.
Well, I have no idea personally. I mean, I could ask ChatGPT that question, but does anyone on the call happen to know that?
I just find it intriguing. Now,
it is. Yeah,
to so, look back and go, where did they come from with what they got together and did?
Yeah.
And everybody said, isn't that interesting? And nobody got as excited. I'd get real excited today if somebody came up with something like that.
Yeah.
So true. To me, then it should have been more than just weird, because like you say, there was a lot of weird going on.
Yeah.
So I just wondered if anybody ever thought of it or read or had an explanation for it.
No, I don't think anyone on this call knows that, but I think it would be easy enough to research it online. Stephanie typed the song Aquarius is from the Hair of the Musical. Two things, just a minute. I know, well, two trivia bits around that. The song Aquarius / Let the Sunshine, I believe I read one point, is the only number one song in history to chart at number one as a medley, because that technically is a medley of two songs. And apparently that's the only time a medley ever hit number one on the pop charts. And the second, as an astrologer, when I those opening lines when the moon is in the seventh house and Mercury aligns with Mars. Jupiter aligns with Mars. Actually, then peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars. In fact, the astrological event they're describing happens every 2 years. So it kind of, whoever wrote the lyric didn't study their astrology, because that's like, that's a very common astrological event. But I'm not going to hold that against them. It's still a great song.
Like I said, I just find it super odd in the timing of it, and that it wasn't just part of what else was going on.
Well, I can speak. Well, it was really astrologically. I'll speak to that briefly.
Okay.
In the 60s, the big astrology event of that decade was a conjunction of Uranus and Pluto. And Uranus is shock, revolution, rapid shakeup. That entire decade, all over the planet, there was shakeup happening on all levels, political, social, just, you know, it was a very unstable decade in all kinds of ways. And what they were singing about with that song, A Breakthrough into Love and Light, was completely aligned with the energies of Uranus, Pluto. And that energy expressed both on the really high side and on the really dark side, as big astrology events tend to do. Astrologically, what they were singing about was fully aligned with the vibe of the time, as far as I could tell. But again, you may know the era better than I do. You lived through it and I didn't. I mean, I was born in 1960, so I was too young to appreciate the decade when it was happening. So that's just my little blips for whatever that's worth.
Right. No, I was particularly unaware of whatever was going on until looking back at it later.
Okay, sure. Well,
so like I said, the only things I've ever been able to find out of is who the people were and that they all got together. Mm-hmm. And as though nothing about them was unusual.
Yeah. And Roberta, I'm going to have to take us to a new topic, because that really is off topic for what we're here for. Okay.
That's fine.
Is fascinating, but sadly, Faye's asking a question that I think is more on topic for what we're here for.
Of course.
She says, Benjamin, is it appropriate to ask your guides the question during this group?
The question about where they got the inspiration for that song, was it channeled to them?
I don't know. My guides aren't saying anything. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry. sorry. I've got no insights to share. My apologies. But you know, what I've learned about my guides and my own intuition is it'll pipe in on something that it cares about. So in other words, if it's actually relevant to my soul purpose, they'll definitely chime in with information. But if it's like something they don't consider that important, then they'll stay silent. So they, for me anyway, or not, they're just, that must not be important enough for them to make a comment. All right, cool. All right. I'm feeling like we're winding it down. Any burning last questions before we close the session?
Well, I do have another question.
Okay, fire it up.
But this is like, you know, because I know you're a shaman, and I know that shamanic practice is the spirituality of the indigenous. And I know that indigenous people would know of these things. So I kind of assume that you have an energetic connection. So forgive me if this question doesn't make sense, but I've seen some reports in the North American forests, a lot of strange things happen. Mm-hmm. And as an example, someone who's 3 or 5 years old will have disappeared, and there's been a search party immediately, you know, covering miles and miles. And the next day, the child will be found in a cave or on a high cliff or someplace that's 15 miles away, that this child that could barely walk with no clothing on is found in this cave by some totally unrelated person, like a hiker or something. Mm-hmm. And the search party never got that far. And they are not malnourished. They are not dehydrated. They don't have hypothermia in spite of the conditions. Mm-hmm. What do the shamans say about how a child that is like basically defenseless would be transported to a safe place, but so far away?
Well, I don't have any personal knowledge of that, but I'll just speak from my knowledge base of how reality can work. It is possible that a divine, maybe their guardian angel, came and magically transported them to the protected place. That could happen. Divine beings are not bound by the laws of 3D reality. They can, you know, transport objects or people if it's important. So I would say that might have been, and, you know, it's also possible a human found them and just carried them that far, maybe quickly. But if they were literally moved farther than a human could have walked or reasonably moved to one place to another, then it might have been a divine being intervening and transporting, you know, the child to a safe place, would be my best guess on that.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, it was a distance and rocky terrain with no paths that mm-hmm. no human could have possibly done it. So that's why I was wondering if they, in the shamanic tradition, if there are like guardians that are able to physically interact and transport a child like that.
Yeah, and that happens in, I mean, there's lots of stories in mainstream religions of angels intervening and doing stuff like that too. So
Well, thank you.
Spiritual paths have stories of things like that. It doesn't just have to be
okay. Shaman.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. And again, where's the line between shamanism and spirituality and religion? It can get very fuzzy in the middle ground there. Cool. Any other questions before we close? All righty. Well, it has been a very juicy night. Stephanie said a portal? Could be. Yeah. The cow might just walk through a portal. Oop, I'm in a cave. What happened? Stargate. Alrighty. So thank you all for showing up and having such a beautiful meeting of the mind. I love all the questions, love all the insights and wonderful sharing. And I felt a lot of energetic connection with you all as well. So it's been a wonderful night. Thank you, each and every one of you, whether you're live or just listening in afterwards. Love you guys. Thank you for being here. Thank you for contributing your beautiful energies to the membership. And this is our last scheduled event of the month. And by the end of the weekend, there'll be an email out with all of our next month's stuff. So thanks very much, everybody. Let's quickly let the allies go. Allies, thank you for coming and supporting us so beautifully. Go if you must, stay if you will. Any of you still working with anyone who's been part of this event, live or on the recording, please remain with them for as long as it serves their highest good. Beautiful allies, where would it serve highest good to go? What would it serve highest good to do? What would it serve highest good to communicate and to whom? Thank you. That's it, folks. Thanks again for a wonderful event. Big blessings to you all. Good night.